The way that we did it was, it allowed us to carry on probably where we'd left off around the time of Presence or Physical Graffiti.
Just going back again, it's what you hear in the concerts, you'll understand what we're doing. You'll see the risks that we're taking, you'll see us improvising and going down new roads. And that's what it's about. That's what we're both about, have been all the way through.
Writing in the All Music Guide, Stephen Thomas Erlewine pegs it spot on. Quote, "Ever since Led Zeppelin parted ways after the death of drummer John Bonham, fans were clamoring for the mighty band to reunite. The legend of the band was so strong that reunion rumors reached a fever pitch whenever vocalist Robert Plant or guitarist Jimmy Page had a new solo album. In 1994, the two quietly reunited to record a concert for MTV's then-popular acoustic concert series, Unplugged. Page and Plant interpreted the Unplugged concept rather liberally, bringing in a full orchestra, a hurdy-gurdy, and Jimmy Page turned to an electric guitar on occasion. Nevertheless, the Unplugged setting did give the duo an opportunity to gracefully back away from the bombast that was assumed to be Led Zeppelin's stock in trade. Instead, this gives them a chance to dive into the moodiest material, trading heavily on the folk, blues, and world music that gave Zeppelin a richness unheard in their heavy rock peers." Erlewine concludes, "This might not be what some diehards were expecting from a reunion, but it was a gutsy move from Page and Plant. And the ensuing album, and now DVD, No Quarter, Unleaded, is ambitiously atmospheric, restless music by musicians not content to rest on their laurels." End quote. I asked Robert Plant and Jimmy Page why they chose MTV's Unplugged television series to reintroduce their musical partnership. Robert Plant responds first.
"It was the most obvious and lucrative vehicle to do it, to actually choose the combination of musicians, the attitude and the approach, both musically and ethnically. It was the only way that we could actually get the point across three times a week, I think, because it would, I think otherwise people wouldn't be exposed to the whole deal of what we're all about, or what we were all about back then. Initially, it sounded like a bit of a copper, a bit of a sellout, you know. The whole idea of just going on music television to rekindle a relationship, to show that it's what it's made of. But when you think about it properly, and in reality, the way that we did it was, it allowed us to carry on probably where we'd left off around the time of Presence or Physical Graffiti."
Mm. The thing is, we also, along the little journey to the point where we actually started recording for the MTV thing, the night of the show, so to speak, we've written quite a lot of new material. And there was a discussion, well, shall we do that instead? You know, doing the new one, which was, you know, obviously pretty credible idea, but to actually give people the access to, for instance, the Egyptians. It made more sense to do that than put it on a new album. At least they'd be able to relate to it far more in the future. We did it right anyway. I didn't know the whole approach to it was right.
Remember, let me
Pulling the plug, yet retaining every ounce of slam of the original. That's Jimmy Page and Robert Plant from the No Quarter Unleaded DVD with When the Levee Breaks. Page and Plant took many creative risks, incorporating Moroccan and Egyptian musicians, vocalists from India, ancient musical instruments from the Middle Ages to the 19th century, and remote recording locations in both Marrakesh and Wales. Here's Robert Plant.
The only way that we can work together is by working in extreme areas, or not extreme, but just testy areas. That's always been the way it was when we were really working together productively and fluently. And I think that's the way it should continue. So really, to be safe is to fail. To actually, you know, you've spoken to me and Jimmy in our separate camps that many times. We're not about... I don't know whether the opposite of taking risks is to be safe, but whatever it is that we do, we have to stimulate, I'm sure, on behalf of both of us, we have to stimulate ourselves. Otherwise, you know, I can do a Honey Drippers album and do some great covers of some 50s songs, which would be much easier to market and program on certain radio networks. And if it's the money, you get much more doing it that way. So the thing is to go out and carry on almost as if we've had a complete rethink, a new time together, and let's go and see where we really gel, where we can really go out on the edge again. I mean, really using Zeppelin songs was very handy, but there's a lot of stuff that is in the offing, which is nothing to do with Zeppelin songs.
The No Quarter Unleaded videotaping for MTV's Unplugged series took place in London in 1994 in front of a studio audience. When I asked them what considerations to the Unplugged concept they had to contend, Jimmy Page responded first.
The immediate limitation of anything like that is the sheer fact of if you weren't in the audience witnessing it, you lose so much coming through a television set. That's really why we're on the road now.
Yeah, but there was no restraint with the whole idea of being... with or without an amplifier. I mean, we just did it whatever we wanted to do and said, look, the idea was great for some people. 10,000 maniacs it might have been good for, but for us, we had to just weave around wherever it was most appropriate. With amplifiers, without, it doesn't matter. In the desert, on the top of a Welsh mountain, wherever it was, which could be indicative and it could show what we were all about, were and are.
Springtime of my loving, the second season I don't know how. You are the sunlight in my growing, so little warmth I felt before. It isn't hard to feel me glowing. I watch the fire that grew so low. Oh.
Simply sublime. That's Jimmy Page and Robert Plant with The Rain Song, previously unreleased in the U.S., now included on both the compact disc and the DVD of No Quarter Unleaded. Up next, Robert Plant explains why he did not want this to be a Led Zeppelin project. I'm Redbeard, in the studio with Jimmy Page and Robert Plant, No Quarter Unleaded.
Welcome back to In the Studio. I'm Robert Plant.
Hi, this is Jimmy Page with my very good friend Redbeard. You better believe it.
We're back in the studio. Jimmy Page and Robert Plant's No Quarter Unleaded. I'm Redbeard. The three living members of Led Zeppelin reunited at two high-profile events, 1985's Live Aid and 1988's Atlantic Records' 40th birthday. Robert Plant contends that he agreed to perform Unleaded with Jimmy Page for a reason.
I personally didn't want to be a part of Led Zeppelin. And the reason, your very first question is a very obvious one about using television as the sort of catalyst to show everybody what we're all about. But if it only stays there, if we ain't no better than that, then we'll have to stop. But the thing is, we already know that we've got a seed for the future. But the only way that I could dream of doing it was to get away from the John Paul Jones, Jason Bonham ridiculous scenario that people might live by or consider in the middle of a day when they're thinking about the ball game, what they're going to buy their wife for her birthday and all that. And in the middle of it all, they think, oh, well, when Page and Plant get back together, they'll naturally take on this personality and character, which is bullshit. If we're going to go forward, we need to work with as many different people in as many different environments as possible, really, to get different sparks. The tail is not going to wag the dog any more than I suppose it has already.
But you see, that's the whole thing. The proof of the pudding is in the eating, and that's why, as I go, just going back again, it's what you hear in the concerts. You'll understand what we're doing. You'll see that the risks that we're taking. You'll see us improvising and going down new roads. And that's what it's about. That's what we're both about, have been all the way through.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that the tour is, it's a great surprise, and it's a very pleasant one to find that the seats, there's not a seat for sale anywhere in the country. Now, of course, the anticipation is Page and Plant together again, let's hear Black Dog. But at the same time, the response to what we're doing shows that there's a lot more open-mindedness in the sort of countenance of American audiences than I would have imagined, because they're really embracing what we're doing in the Egyptian part of the show. The cohesion between the Led Zeppelin songs and the Egyptian ensemble and the use of orchestra, because it's very dynamic, it's very exciting. And instead of just expecting, yeah, kick out the jams and, you know, the people have got, they get the plot, they understand. Which, if we hadn't used TV and the constant repetition of certain parts of it, we would have been having a much tougher job putting it over, and we would be eventually in the folk clubs.
originally on the Led Zeppelin III album, with songs written in a Welsh cottage without electricity, that's Jimmy Page and Robert Plant with Friends from No Quarter, Unleaded. Here's Robert Plant.
This is not a marriage of convenience. It's I really want to go somewhere different. And I've tried and tried and tried and tried and will continue to try forever, because I'm never, ever going to put the car into neutral. I mean, I've pushed over the last 12 years and I've pushed over the last 12 months. And it was really fruitful, because from when we first got together, we didn't really know each other. But we knew what used to be at one point before the dissolution of our working together. So if we could touch that again, that was great. And if we couldn't touch it again, there was no point in trundling around the country playing a whole lot of love. The only thing that I noticed was, apart from the nervousness and the tentative atmosphere between us initially, as we, you know, that parlance as we got to know each other again, or just got to feel each other comfortably, the thing is that Jimmy could go someplace totally different to any other guitar player, against those African rhythms and stuff, which I got from a guy in Paris. And we put him up on a big machine, played him real loud, and then instantly there was some musicality or stuff that, like that Jack Owen stuff today, you know, that sort of music that went, wow, there it is again. And that took, I mean, just to get the thread of that took the best part of about 20 minutes. Or, you know, to just know that it was worth it. That's it. You know, and that's all it is. The rest of the interview is not worth talking about. You can stop the interview now, because that's the only reason that it works. Because some nights when we're playing, we look at each other and we know that it's absolutely marvelous for us, between us, to each other, and never mind anybody else. Who cares?
With that passion intact and a lengthy body of work from which to choose, Jimmy Page revealed how they chose the material for No Quarter, Unleaded.
Basically, we started off with, as we were going to be using Middle Eastern string sections, and originally we started off with Moroccans, but as they dropped out one by one through being totally unreliable, we ended up with Egyptians. But knowing that we were going for that particular sensual string sound, and naturally the numbers that we had before, which encompassed anything which is like Middle Eastern or slightly Oriental or whatever, we're going to be tailor-made. Things like Friends. Four Sticks is actually a really abstract number altogether. And Kashmir and all the rest of it, you know, Friends. Those obviously came right to the fore immediately. In fact, a lot of the numbers which had been acoustic in the first place, and then, of course, with Nigel and Battle of Evermore and Gallows Pole, and, you know, they it all came together really, really, a very fast organic process. In fact, I think there was only one number that we tried out that we didn't use, and that was Bronwell Stomp. Probably because I played it on a banjo and made it sound really silly. But apart from that, everything was, you know, it was just, you know, steadily moving forward. The momentum was really, really moving.
Hangman, hangman, hold it a little while. I think I see my friends coming right in many miles. From the gallows pole. What did you bring me? Keep me from the gallows pole. I couldn't get no silver. I couldn't get no gold. You know you're too damn poor to keep me from the gallows pole. My brother come
fortune to keep you from the gallows pole. Hangman, hangman, turn your head wild. I think I see my sister come rising main mile.
Featuring all acoustic instruments, from banjo to the handheld organ grinder known as a hurdy-gurdy, that's Jimmy Page and Robert Plant with Gallows Pole. That song originally appeared on Led Zeppelin III, and Robert Plant and Jimmy Page will return to discuss how it may have been the world's first unplugged album. I'm Redbeard, in the studio of Page and Plant's No Quarter Unleaded.
Welcome back to In the Studio. I'm Robert Plant.
Hi, this is Jimmy Page with my very good friend Redbeard. You better believe it.
For No Quarter, Unleaded's anniversary CD and now DVD. Even with the two Led Zeppelin reunion performances cited earlier, plus Jimmy Page guesting on Plant's solo work, still it had been 14 years since they had worked together on a full-length project and subsequent tour. Robert Plant.
The thing is that Jimmy's brought a joy back to working musically, which I'd forgotten about. Actually, I've been so conscientious about getting out on the edge. I forgot exactly the right route to the edge. But I mean, but working with Jim again, I see that there are two paths you can go by. And in the long run, Jim's got the best one. So I really, it's great fun. And I mean, I know we cluck at each other and bitch and sort of spit like a pair of old fighting birds occasionally. But I mean, we've had our own space for years where we've been in charge of, you know, in charge of everything. And I guess that personally, it's kind of been interesting, and it's taken a bit of perseverance on my behalf because I'm very mouthy. There's a lot of mouth, but not very much behind it, to get used to the fact that we share this situation, you know. And it's good that we do, because it's nice to actually share the responsibility for it, you know. And I guess the quality is that he can still keep going when I thought he'd never stand up. I think it's amazing. I'm just a big fan.
I've got the Dedicated to the late Led Zeppelin drummer John Bonham, whose unorthodox and innovative playing included playing that song originally holding a pair of sticks in each hand. That's four sticks from Robert Plant and Jimmy Page's No Quarter, Unleaded. Jimmy and Robert evolved the sound of Led Zeppelin while composing for Zeppelin III in the Branwar Cottage in Wales, and again in the North African region of Morocco for Physical Graffiti. For the No Quarter Unleaded filming, they returned to those places.
There are times in your life musically that really have a substantial effect upon you. It's like the very first time, really, when you started to hear like rock music and blues, but those sort of things, and there are musics and vibes of places which live with you forever. So they don't go. The mantle doesn't go. You just take more colours onto this mantle.
At a specific time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we may not actually have a dalliance again with the Egyptian thing for a long, long time to come. I don't think we're ever going to go wandering off into any other ethnic marriage musically. Mm. We went to Wales originally because we've been touring for month after month after month with Zeppelin 1 and 2. And when I was a kid, I used to go to this cottage, which was quite remote. I'm not by American standards, you know. It wasn't But it was, for us, it was a complete change from what we'd been doing, which was constantly playing all these festivals. And
it's basically 2 years we were on, wasn't it?
Yeah. So without electricity and without all the trappings and no telephone and no this, that, the other, the whole deal was to have a break and see if we could really stimulate ourselves. Exactly what I was saying 10 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago, about we had to stretch it. And that's what we did. It was, it had its moments, and at other times we would kind of draw in blanks, but at least because from the very beginning of working together, the acoustic guitar had been there, whether it was on Babe, I'm Going to Leave You or Your Time is Going to Come Through. So it was no big deal. It was just kind of important to get away from a whole lot of love and say, hey, and we also do this. Morocco is just another thing altogether, and really, at this point, whoever's playing, whatever stations are picking up this program, should just play a bit of Moroccan hill music and listen to the vocals. It's just like some kind of blues from Mars. It's amazing. The sound, the intonation, the color of the music, the exotic landscapes, the whole deal is, it's so tremendous. There's such a kind of human lightness about the place. North Africa, it's amazing. And I mean, you could really quite get enlarge upon it, no doubt. But I mean, basically, it's just another blues.
Only the sun beat down upon my face. The stars to fill my dream. I'll drive the remote time and space to be where I have been. Generate this world of sound same. We talk of days from which they sit and wait. What all will be revealed. My ear.
thoughts inside drain. Who in the path would lead me to this place with yellow desert screen? My Shangri-La beneath the summer moon, I will return again.
Baby!
the majestic Kashmir from the compact disc and DVD, No Quarter, Unleaded on its anniversary by Jimmy Page and Robert Plant. I'm Redbeard, back in the studio after this.